Welcome to Focus Carolina, an exclusive program sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Provost Bob Lewin, and I'm excited to share this series of interviews with our Carolina faculty here on WCHL. Dr. Amy Blank Wilson researches ways to improve how mental health services are provided to people with serious mental illness. As part of her work at the UNC School of Social Work, she is helping to develop a tiny homes community in rural Chatham County that will allow people with mental illness to live independently.
A focus of Dr. Wilson's work is to make sure voices of the mentally ill are heard in planning for their future.
In terms of building interventions for people with mental illness, we as a field have had a tendency to focus on provider views for a number of reasons. That view has held more value. And really what I have seen is, especially in my field of research, by not including people with lived experience, we're not building interventions necessarily that they want or need. And in almost every other area of intervention research, we focus on what we call the end user and making sure that the person is going to use either technology or services, that is what they want. And it's delivered in a way that's palatable, that meets their needs. And that's really been missing from early mental health services. And so one of the focuses of my career has been on how to ensure that we include the voices of people experiencing problems that we're trying to help try to elevate, so that we can all try to see and understand and learn with them. And that's not to say that providers don't have a valuable point of view. They do. And so do people with lived experience. And one of the things about the tiny homes, it's a unique research project for me in that the idea was not mine. So typically, university researchers were good with coming up with ideas and carrying them out. And in this project, I met my community collaborators, and it was their idea. They were talking about how to build affordable housing and how to use tiny homes to do that. Initially, because I was kind of hanging out and learning from them, which is something I get to do from time to time, is to go visit my colleagues out in the community. And they actually caught my attention because they were like, we want to do things differently. We would really like you to join us and use your research skills to embed them early in the design of the home, so we get it as right as we can the first time. And they had me, because we need to do more of that.
Dr. Wilson's most poignant experiences come from those incarcerated who were not prepared for reentry into society.
What we knew were they weren't getting to services, and we had services built, and we knew where they were, and then they got released, and we didn't know what was happening, why they weren't getting to services. And there was no pre-made checklist of questions that was going to get us an answer to that question. People had tried talking to service providers and seeing what their thoughts were, and I used participant observation and interviewing and following along with the experiences of people that I was able to identify some key issues we weren't doing a good job of addressing that was keeping people from being able to ever get to the door of the service center. And honestly, that initial period of time after somebody's released, especially from jail, which is a short-term stay, and people are released very unpredictably because most are pretrial, meaning that they're there prior to a sentence. So they can be bailed out or released with a lot of unpredictability. Where prison's a little different because you're there on a sentence and you generally have a sense of when someone's coming out. So jail is a particularly frenetic space in terms of release. And we were really struggling to understand how to find people at the point that they're released and then hook them to services. And we were really focused, when we said services as a field, on mental health services, which are a critical part of the treatment that people with mental illness need, and probably particularly when they were leaving jail or prison. If we normalize it a little bit, instead of thinking about people with mental illness as being different, if we flip it and we say, well, when you're released out onto the street at any type of day or night in the clothes that you were probably wearing, and your first questions are, where am I going to stay tonight? How am I going to find clothes that fit, that are weather appropriate? And what am I going to eat? And that's a fight for survival. And when people generally leave jail and prison, that's a real thing for everybody. And for people with mental illness, it's exacerbated because many, not all, but many have lost connections to their loved ones, or maybe they just have a distance from their loved ones that might be able to help them. And whatever resources they had when they were arrested probably are gone to them. And until people can secure those basic resources, even when opportunities are available to connect to services, that doesn't happen in a day. During that time, people are really caught in this fight for survival, and you can't thrive until you're sure you can survive. And we are really good at some very advanced clinical services that are really important in people's lives, like advances in medicine. And we have some state-of-the-art mental health services. And here in Chapel Hill, they're doing amazing things, as well as around the country. And for people who are living on the margins.
Thank you for listening to Focus Carolina, sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. To hear more interviews, visit chapelboro.com and click on 97.9 The Hill on Demand, or visit thewell.unc.edu.